Before we get into the podcast, guys, I want to make a big disclaimer. In no way, shape, or form are my co-hosts and I or any guests that we have on a replacement for a mental health specialist. We do not have the credentials for a mental health specialist, nor are we trying to substitute a mental health specialist for you or anyone else who may be watching or listening to the podcast. We are simply just guys on the internet sharing their experiences of things that they've gone through and what we have done to be able to push past them in a way that can hopefully inspire, lead, and motivate and let today be a better day for you guys than yesterday. And as a reminder, if you do want to catch the live segment of this podcast, don't forget to stop by our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/thinktheory. We are live with the podcast every single Monday at 6:30 p.m. EST. And if you want more content, check out our YouTube channel, also under the Think Theory name. We post there weekly, and I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode number 3 of the Think Theory podcast with your host, the one, the only, Brian. And as always, with the co-host, Veganator Alpha or Nelson. You guys know what it is. Today's episode is a fun one. See, the other day, you know what? We were talking about synergy in relationships and the importance of loving yourself. And it's going to be a very pack-filled topic, I think, you know? Like, we can break that down. So, like, I kind of, I don't know about you, but I always hated when people were like, oh yeah, you gotta learn to love yourself before you love anyone else. I'm like, screw you. Like, what are you even talking about? Do you know what I mean? You never thought that?
No, if anything, I was like, you know what? Yeah, that kind of makes sense. You know,
no shot,
like,
really?
I'm dead serious, bro. No sus, no cap. I always thought that, like, if you can't love yourself, like, how can you ever extend true love to someone else? Yeah, you have to look within first.
See, but okay.
And that was just all with me.
But so, you always know that, or did you learn that? Because I learned that now. That's the same way. But at first,
I think I felt it when I was a kid. I always knew where I stood. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. I just always knew, like, you know what? Yeah, that kind of makes sense. And then other people just reinforced that. It wasn't something I learned. Well, was it something I strayed away from and kind of hurt myself? Yeah, I didn't really get the lesson until I was like,
I gotta say, for me, when I first heard it, that I hated it because, like, I didn't know what it meant. And at the time, the love that I was given, I was like, this is pretty damn good love, especially when I was, and this is gonna sound bad, but I was comparing it to other people around me. You know, I was friends with a lot of females. I was that guy. You know, I was friends with a lot of females, and I was seeing what they were going through at an early, like, you know, with their significant others at the time. Yeah, I know that it's high school and everything and stuff like that. But my point being is, though, like, I definitely remember, like, the love that I was given compared to what they were getting. I'm like, bro, I can do better than that. So what do you mean? What do, with extra sass behind it, like, what do you mean love myself before I love anyone else? Obviously, yeah, I understand the importance of that. I'm sure you do too, of course.
Yeah, definitely. I understand that now, especially with everything that happened recently.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're more than welcome to share that experience if you shine some light and stuff like that. You know, anything that you've learned, wisdom, energy, I mean, from wisdom and energy, anything that you've learned from that, you know, we all have different experiences. Maybe your story can impact and resonate with someone else that may be listening and watching.
True, yeah. I was in a relationship for 5 years and I was engaged for three, the last three of them. And it was actually a very toxic relationship, I have to say. You know, something I really put everything into. Was I perfect to be with? No, I made my mistakes. I owned up to my flaws. Yeah. You know?
What made the relationship toxic, though?
Miscommunication was the biggest thing. Not knowing how to talk to each other. There's one thing to be good with your words, but it's another thing to be able to communicate them effectively to someone else. Because the communication is universal. Everything communicates. Understanding is subjective, and we have to understand that your form of understanding may be different than someone else's. Epiphanies, Reckitts, Abus, everybody has their own way of understanding.
You guys may be wondering who he's labeling. He's labeling people, you know, from our community.
Yeah,
chat members and stuff like that. Sorry, go ahead.
I keep forgetting people can't, like, see this. I forgot, my bad. But, you know, understanding is subjective. So in order to overcome that, you have to be able, a lot of people will call it a love language. It's really just understanding your partner, or just like us, we have our own language.
Love languages, though. Love languages are something a little bit different, though. Like, but it was a book written by Gary Chapman. I think that's his name.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, when you're in love, there is a certain language. It's like, oh, that's just them in love, you know, and that's how they talk to each other. That could be understood as something subjective. And that's why I say, like, coming full circle, the big thing that I struggled with in my relationship was miscommunication, because I will think of a thousand different ways to try to explain something and it still wouldn't click with the other person.
Oh my
It
gosh, it's difficult. It really is, because like
is. Yeah.
I, you know, okay, so to just pause on that before we further on, like I agree with you 1000% that communication is something that most relationships probably struggle with, because you know, like it's a little bit different, in my personal opinion, with a friend that you've known for a long period of time and you've always been around them, because you kind of established that communication. Can you have that same dynamic with a relationship and a partner you've been with a while, for a while? Absolutely. But that has to be a mutual effort. You know what I mean? Like, and like you, most of the time with friendships, that tends to be it. If not, then you just drift apart, you move on with life. You know, obviously that's a little bit more difficult with a relationship because there's more emotions involved, and yeah, right. But like especially that, like, because how can you figure out a way to explain something to someone when they themselves don't even understand how they understand things?
That's exactly the thing, because you have to understand yourself in order to be able to communicate. That's really what I struggled with in my previous relationship for 5 years. She didn't understand herself, so communication was very hard for her. And of course, there were other cerebral issues that were also present in that relationship as well. So it wasn't just like she just couldn't get it. There were some limitations that she had. So trying to make that work going forward, it was very, very rough. But I definitely do. I definitely agree with you. You know, it's something that you have to work at. It's something subjective. It's something that since you had asked me, the one thing that really bringing it all the way back, loving yourself and understanding that you have to love yourself will do you so much better before you get into any relationships.
I can agree.
Because when you love yourself, you can actually be honest with yourself when you see something toxic. Yes.
I
That is what I
agree.
struggled with completely from the first moment I started my relationship with her.
You
I
know,
knew that there was a
that's.
toxic element there, but I was just like, you know what? I'll put myself to the side. And you know my history. I basically disregarded everything, my wants, my needs, my
That's
desires, my
true. You
goals,
literally neglected
my
yourself.
preferences, all to take care of her. So that's why I say, like, when you love yourself, that opens the avenue for you to practice being honest with yourself. And when you see something toxic, you're able to say, okay, I have a lot of love for you, but you're not good for me right now.
That's
And you don't have that
huge.
connection or that burden or those anchors and hooks that are just like drive right into your heart and soul, because it's like, oh, I spent 5 years with this person and I can't. I don't understand why this isn't just working. I'm trying to do, I go through seven different explanations trying to explain it. If it's not right, you have to be honest with yourself and just
But at the same
disconnect.
time, though, like, here's the thing, though. You also, in my personal opinion, like, I think it all comes down to self-awareness, right? And I
Yes.
think that learning to love yourself, I think for me, the way that I see it, I mean, I agree with you for sure that it teaches you to be honest with yourself, but I only feel like that can come through self-awareness. You know what I mean? You have to have a certain level of self-awareness. So I think, like, you know, we talk about that all the time, you know, and not just this and different podcasts that we talked about or that we've had, the importance
Oh, yeah.
of self-awareness. And it's interesting because here's yet another example of how one can work on their self-awareness, you know, and it translates to so many different avenues in their lives. That's not that extends much further than just a relationship, really. You know, that's amazing. I mean, obviously unfortunate that you had to go through that, but
Well, I mean, honestly, and I'll say it on record, I'm not sorry that I went through it, because I wouldn't have learned as much as I did if I hadn't
yes.
gone through that. And
Yes.
I learned a lot. There was a lot of struggles. There was a lot of hurtling through the quagmire and toxicity and immaturity. There was so much that I learned and grew from. I honestly believe that the me before, if I had a roadmap of what I was going to go through, I would want a different way. I felt like I could 100% say I wouldn't be able to go through that, and yet
Yeah.
here I am.
Right. I, you know, and I really like that. You know, this is actually a little foreshadowing here to the next episode that we're going to be talking about, which is restructuring failure. you know? And I love that. And that's kind of like, you kind of just briefly talk about it. And for those of you guys who may be watching or listening, you know, I don't believe that there's such thing as failure. I don't believe it. I don't believe in failure because everything has a lesson. You know, it is a matter of perspective, but we'll get into that in a different podcast here. So if you guys are, you know, interested in that, don't forget to hit the follow button, subscribe, and all those good stuff, or check out the website, guys, to stay informed. But you know, I'm really excited to talk about that because I think that combined with self-awareness is honestly, they're two just, it's like a yin and yang. It's a heck of a balancing act, you know, and it works beautifully, you know, with growing through life. You know, and it all starts with the self. So like, that's huge.
And I used to always think that self-awareness was like some kind of skill that you had to like learn. No, it literally is discovering your self-identity, discovering who you are at your core, not just your physical, not just your mental.
You know, it's about understanding yourself.
Completely. Yeah. And it's not a skill. It's just who you are always.
Right.
You know, it's funny that like, not a lot of people know that nowadays. They're kind of just autopiloting life.
It's difficult though, because like, this is going to sound messed up. And I know that some of you guys that are going to be listening to what I'm going to say are probably going to be like, "That, slow down there, sir." You know, right below the whistle there. But like, how do you go about telling someone that they're doing something wrong that they don't know they're doing wrong? It's kind of like that saying, you don't know what you don't know until, or like, you just don't know what you don't know, you know? And it's like, people are like, well, how do you know what's good for me? And it's not that I know what's good for you because I don't know your life, you know? And, but at the same time, I have experienced and been in similar situations, and this could help you what we're sharing, you know, but you have to be open to that, you know? And if you're not open to anything aside from your autopilot life, you know, to really see that life is so much more than that, there's no going anywhere. There is none, you know? I mean, you probably know this, the gift that you can get from being present on a daily basis is so much more rewarding, you know, every single minute. You're just like, you're there and you're active. Yeah, your mind drifts every now and then, and that creates a certain level of freedom and limitation that stops you from feeling like you're in autopilot. Because guys, realistically speaking, I mean, I know I can say this, probably, you know, Nelson can attest to this as well too. You know, I think we all have a certain routine that we go through in our lives, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So there is, to some degree, a certain parts of our life that are automated, but there are so many people that just fully let that automation go on, you know? And like, that's huge, or rather not huge in a good way, the damage that can come from that, you know?
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Because it's true, because like you, going back to like a couple of podcasts ago, it's that creative energy, you know?
Yes.
Technically, you are your creative energy. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't aware of that, you're kind of just, like you said, autopiloting life.
Right.
That's scary.
Yeah,
because like me, I can attest to this. You never know your true potential unless you unlock that.
It's about discomfort. Oh,
yeah. And that's honestly, we live in a society. We live in a society that almost kind of pushes away your discomfort and tries to cover all the bases. But the only way for a human to grow personally, they used to call it taking your own pilgrimage way back in the day. But really, it's going through your discomfort. What do you feel uncomfortable with? And how can you drive past that instead of avoiding it? That is the key to unlocking self-awareness, self-identity, who you are.
And it's funny that you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because my take on this is kind of a spinoff on that, is that I feel like society has tried to make so many different things safe that it avoids it's literally a mass avoidance of discomfort, and it creates this generational, it just creates this inadequacy. Feeling. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, people don't learn that it's okay to be uncomfortable and push past that. It's okay to have a different opinion. And, you know, even though you feel uncomfortable by someone else's opinion and respect them as a human being, you know, and still be able to even cohabitate, even though you see things slightly different. Now, there's obviously some dynamics you know, that I could be changed, especially when I, you know, I said cohabitate, meaning like if you're living together and stuff, but like you can still be friends with someone that sees things completely different from you. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that happens in our friend group. You know, not everyone in our friend group is Christian. They don't believe in God the way that we do. That's okay. They're the first person to set and have an ear and actually be open-minded to talking about it. But at the end of the day, if we disagree, they're the first person that will also take the clothes off their back and be able to help me out. And I would do the same for them. You know, it's a mutual respect. And I feel like because society tries to make things so equal and so safe that it just doesn't allow people to go through that discomfort. And when they do, they don't know what to do because they haven't been equipped with that. And I feel like that's the newer generation that's coming out. That's what they're dealing with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Very true. It's almost like this new generation coming in, and nothing against them, because honestly, it's really not their fault.
Right,
it's the institutions
exactly.
that are institutions or the people in charge of them, quote unquote. I say loosely.
It's an environmental thing almost.
Yeah, you know, they're learning like the high school regime, everything's given to you. You know, you're not going out there trying to survive in the wilderness. The textbooks are given to you. The information
you were participating.
Essentially, without actually learning, okay, this does what does this?
Well, not
you know
even that.
I
mean, like the participation trophy is like a really important like thing that we should cover, because like, I mean, people don't understand the effort of hard work. Because why work hard if you're gonna get a trophy at the end that still says good job, you did well.
Essentially, know? Yeah. Like, and that diminishes the value of like, okay, I have a goal to get the trophy when trophy is first place, but now it's like I'm gonna get the trophy. When it's just participation, it completely shatters all hard worth or ethics or any kind of work for that. Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah.
It's a very interesting dynamic. And the thing is like, it's not like one group's fault or the other in terms of political sides or anything like that. It is literally a collective whole, a whole bunch of people over time and institutions and just things that were just slowly passed down little by little incrementally. And that's how we've gotten to where we're at. And the thing is a lot of the stuff in theory does make sense, you know, and maybe there is, I'll be the first person to say, maybe there is a story or not a story, excuse me, an experiment out there that was done on people who earned participation trophy versus those who didn't, that actually has a positive result. That's completely fine. I'm not, you know, saying that I know everything. I have research. I'm just speaking from my experiences and the people that I know, my nephew and everyone that's growing up and stuff like that. And even, you know, people that I've worked with, you know, that grew up during our time frame and seeing their kids and stuff like that, like they're just seeing the same, they share the same value. And it's weird because at the same time, we're like, they adopted that value of it's okay to avoid discomfort. Over time, while we're also trying to teach them to adapt the value of discomfort, it's like we're trying to force through these different ways of living on them, you know. And it's, they're not a it's weird because it's like you're doing the same thing from both sides, except the end goal is completely different. But you know, I don't know,
it's shoving too much into one little space. It's too much. It's overloading.
Yes.
It's overwhelming.
Especially with information being so easily accessible nowadays, you know? I mean, literally even this channel right here, this is one of millions of channels that probably talk about similar things, you know? And I think that the important thing is that there's nothing wrong with different perspectives and people should seek out different perspectives, but at the end of the day, never let someone decide from them. They have to come to that own conclusion and choose to go with something, you know? And like, I think that that's like, that kind of lacks a lot, even with the amount of information that is out there, you know? I feel like, especially like if you take someone that may be a big influence and stuff like that. And the thing is like, let's just say we were a big influencer with millions and millions of followers. Like, we can't control what our audience does. We can only try to influence things in a positive way. At the end of the day, dude, we can, you know, even someone listening to this can take something that we're saying and just be pissed about it, even though we meant no harm by it, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, through information overload, you can either fall to, I feel like most people fall into the category where like they just don't know what to do because there's too much information, or they take something the wrong way and they fall just one person. And they kind of block out all the other perspectives and stuff like that. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
I agree. Yeah, I just got done saying understanding is subjective. So there's,
True.
if we were, in that situation, that's millions of people that are just unique
Yeah.
in how they absorb information. So I agree with you. I'm right there with it.
Interesting. And then the other thing that we were going to talk about is the synergy, in a
Yeah.
relationship, and whoo, that's another. I do you think that synergy in
Want
a
to talk
Well,
about
here's the thing though. I don't believe that good synergy can ex Okay. I guess synergy in general is good. But I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I don't believe that synergy can exist in a relationship if one does, if there is no self-love from both sides of the relationship. Like you need to have like I feel like synergy is a byproduct of having a solid foundation. Does that make sense?
I disagree with that. If I'm understanding you correctly, I think I disagree with that.
How did you take it? 'Cause let's see if you did take it the way that I meant it.
A foundation. What do you mean by a foundation, first off?
A
Let's.
healthy foundation within the self, meaning that you understand self-love, you have self-awareness, you care for yourself, and you understand that you need to take care of yourself before you can even help anyone else out, because you can realistically be doing more damage not only to yourself but to someone else. Being able to self-care and put yourself important, make your prioritize yourself and your own health before you prioritize someone else's health. And that's not saying that in like a selfish way, like F what the other person feels or how they, whatever. And so that's not how I mean it. I just mean like prioritize your health before, spiritually, mentally, physically, before you prioritize someone else's health. That's a foundation. And I believe that two people who can get to that level of health, one or rather two people who already have those good foundations can then create synergy that can make for a beautiful relationship or friendship.
I think I'm gonna have to disagree on this one. What you're saying is good. It's not like I'm saying that that's bad. I just feel that synergy can be achieved because I interpret synergy, I guess, a little bit differently. Synergy for me is when two people meld very well with their lives. It could be romantic, could be friendship, doesn't matter. If two people get along and they operate well with each other, there's a
Right.
synergy there.
That's like the black and white definition of it. So, yeah.
True. Yeah, but going into the gray aspect with the relationships, I'm also a firm believer that someone can still not know who they are and still be with someone and still have good synergy. Like with my relationship, yes, it failed, but we were really good with each other aside from the miscommunications. The only reason it ended is because she wanted to work on herself in the end. And I said, okay, yeah, okay, let's break it off. That was hard for me at the time. I didn't just say, yeah, okay,
Obviously,
whatever.
yeah. Let's
But
clarify that.
ultimately, I had to, yeah, I was like, no, tears and crying and ugliness later. I got over it. I accepted that fact. However, if she was able to understand herself, I honestly believe that we would still be together despite not being equal on understanding who we are. And so on and so forth of what we had previously talked about. So going to the synergy, I do actually believe that maybe someone who took a bad fall romantically, spiritually, emotionally, not just physically, someone who had a bad fall and then meets another person who has a good self-awareness about them, I believe that there still could be synergy there and they can help the other person up.
But I never said that that didn't exist.
Okay, so.
So I do agree with you because my relationship was I'm gonna we'll peel back the curtains here, get a little personal. Obviously, you guys, my relationship obviously with my fiance was that, I had to grow up, like I said in previous episodes, at a fairly early age, which sucks. But looking back at it, I wouldn't have had it any other way because it forced me to be a lot more mature at an earlier age than I needed to be. And that really translated to a lot of positive things down the road in my life. And when, obviously, I've known my fiance for my entire life, but we've never as close until when I moved up here and then we started dating and everything and stuff like that. However, she was in that kind of same boat where she took some falls, bad falls romantically. She didn't have a good idea or perception or never had a good example of what healthy loves looks like, right? And for me, mm-hmm. I had an example of really bad love as well too, but instead I said, okay, that's not what I want, so I'm going to go the opposite way, you know? So I took that as a learning experience, and that's how I built a lot of my, you know, in that aspect, and a better idea of what love is and what I should be at. However, her and I, when we got together, you know, I helped her up. I helped her see a lot of things. Now, that did not come easy, of course, but she was willing to meet me halfway. And obviously, mm-hmm. as you guys know, she's my fiance. We're getting married, you know? So like, I do agree that synergy can exist when one person is strong enough to be able to help the other up. But what I guess, and I didn't do a good job of wording this, so that's my fault. But I guess what I was trying to say is more or less like, I don't believe that two people who don't have any foundation at all can exist with synergy. Can they find it? Yes, but that often takes two people that genuinely can be submissive to themselves to be able to say, huh?
Oh, more open-minded than submissive.
Oh, yeah. I guess open-minded is not to each other, to themselves. But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in the same page. Yeah. So they could be more open-minded to be able to identify, okay, something's wrong here. We need to change it, right? And they need to be receptive of that. That's the only way that synergy is going to be found. Other than that, I don't believe like two toxic people, like for example, like if you never worked on yourself and you went in your relationship and you both went together in your previous relationship, like that wouldn't have lasted very long. And if it did last, you're just probably, you know, one of you most likely doesn't want to cut it off for whatever reason, you know, because even though it's unhealthy for you and, you know, people around you who care about you, which, you know, are giving you advice and stuff like that, it's like, you know, this is probably not healthy for you. We're seeing how it's affecting you and stuff like that. You know, sometimes people just don't want to cut it off, even though they're toxic for each other, you know. But it kind of falls into a different category, though, like, or not falls into a different category, but can go down a different category of like, what kind of love do you think you deserve, you know?
That's a dangerous question, because you definitely have to work on yourself first. Because a lot of people who are lost, they'll just listen to that and think, I don't deserve nothing.
I think it's a continuously evolving thing. I don't know how you see it, but in terms of the kind of love, like if I were to ask myself, what kind of love do I think that I deserve? I couldn't give you this is what it is. I think it's something that right now it's like this, but maybe 4 or 5 years down the road, it's going to change and build up to that. And I don't mean that I'm going to fall out of love with my significant other because she's not meaning that with me. No, because I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with someone that can't grow with me. You know what I mean? But right. I feel like for a healthy individual, that kind of love always changes, you know, as they grow together, you know, they learn more about each other and stuff like that. They realize the good and the bad and the ugly and everything in between. And like, that's, it's that yin and yang act. It's a balancing act. So I don't know. That's my perspective on it. Do you think that it's stagnant, like it's a static thing, or do you think it also evolves as you work on yourself, for lack of better words?
If I'm understanding you correctly, I think actually it's both. And I say that because everything is subjective to the relationships. You know, it's two people, but two people here and two people there may experience two different things or the same thing. We don't really know. So I feel it could be something organic, or it could be something black and white. And that's the rules that's the thing that they live by. So I agree with you. I just also see it in both avenues as well. So
I can agree with you as well. I can agree with you in seeing it both avenues. Because you're right. It is very subjective at the end of the day. And that's the beauty of it. You know, that's the beauty of all relationships. You should be able to have that kind of, you should be able to have different synergies, like how you said it. Mm-hmm. Two people could be in the same place and experience two different things, you know? And that's huge. That's really important. So I agree with you, actually. So that's...
If I could interject something for the audience real quick, for those that might be listening, because everything is organic, and by organic, I mean constantly changing and unique to that person or the individuals involved, outside opinions should be considered, but not taken to heart. I have to mention that because we're talking about relationships. Well, let me get my piece, and then we could go to yours. I truly feel that when it comes to outside opinions, take it, but understand what people mean, the people who are giving those opinions, whether they have your good intentions, whether they have good intentions or not, and then analyze, should this be right for me? Now, I know that, this is applying to when things are a little tough in the relationship, but it's very easy for outside sources to manipulate one person into doing something
Oh,
that they may not understand. That's what happened with me.
I could understand that. I could understand that. The reason why I had to disagree, which you kind of actually, I obviously cut you off. I was gonna say it really does depend on the individual and their intentions and if you actually trust them. But at the end of the day, you should still just consider what they're saying. You shouldn't live by that. That shouldn't be the rule or the exception. You should take what they're
This person
saying.
said this, or just run with that.
Right,
Yeah,
exactly.
consider your
Because
life.
like even with counseling, like that counseling is great and everything like that, but ultimately at the end of the day, you're taking at least my experience with counseling, and couples counseling, like you're gonna be giving a suggestion, things to try, you're gonna be doing your homework for lack of better words, and you're gonna come back with basically like data, feedback on how those things went for X amount of time, and then you're gonna keep adjusting and adapting and changing things till you get to where you need to be with your counselor and your significant other. So even then that in a in for it will put it in that in a professional setting, it's definitely the same way. I agree with you then. Yeah, because especially the manipulative part, if you're I feel like love makes people so vulnerable that it makes it so much easier to be manipulated from an outside source, if you let the wrong person in.
I kind of agree with that.
What do you
I
mean
kind of
here?
agree with that. I mean, I agree with you, but there's also a part of me that kind of disagrees because true love should be so strong. And maybe this is like the perfect case scenario, but in my head, true love should be so strong that it's only you two. Nothing could ever get in between. But that's just me. Again, that might be perfect case scenario.
No, I can agree with that, but what I am saying, I guess the way that I was speaking about that is that is something that, in my personal opinion, you're right, true love is something that it should just be between you and the other person, no one else can matter. But when you are at a state of emotional vulnerability, you'd be surprised what can get in there to even the strongest person. And that's kind of where I was, I guess leaning towards that, because everyone's got a breaking point. Everyone's got a point where they can be maybe not manipulated. That's too harsh of a word to say, but can be influenced. Can be
Don't think
influenced.
it's too harsh. I think manipulator is the right word for it.
It's very situational though, because oftentimes. Like manipulation, I think influence is a better word because manipulation means that someone I think has ill intent in trying to maneuver you through through what's going on. And I think influence is someone that you trust enough to where you trust them enough where they're going to have some kind of influence in your direction. Because you trust them enough and you take what they're saying at a state of emotional vulnerability as black and white, let's run with it instead of thinking about it, let me get back to you and really, figuring out how can I apply this? How can I go ahead and, reach this direction, that direction, whatever, that would be in the best. How can I adapt? That's a better word.
Yes.
Because it's definitely you have to take something and see how, what is best for your situation, and you to be able to do that, you definitely have to be able to be, I guess, adaptive. So I can agree with you, but at the same time, like it, we're like split in the middle, I feel like. Like we agree on the same
Yeah.
things, but
Well, we like see each other. Yeah.
right, yeah, because I mean, I guess for me anyways, I certainly feel like people can be very easily manipulated when they are emotional, and it's when they're emotional and around someone that they develop some kind of trust or the illusion of trust around, and that can be influenced or manipulated depending on the intentions of the individual you surround yourself with.
I agree.
You know, because probably one of the things that I can't stand are friends or people that you associate with that solely believe that their perspective is the right way. So then when you are at a state of emotional vulnerability, they kind of force that on you. And it has this profound effect that it's like, crap, I never should have like even gone that direction, you know? Instead of someone saying, well, if I was in this situation, this is likely what I would do, but that's me, I'm not you. You know, like take this, think about it, and see how you can adapt and make it better for your situation if you don't really know where to go. Because I feel like a good friend never really gives like a solid advice. It kind of gets the gear of the person they're giving advice to turn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's my personal opinion. You need,
but not in an overwhelming manner.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very subtle, straight to the point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to.
There's so much relationship. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, there's so much relationship advice that I could give because, like, gosh, like, this is the one thing that, like, society really kind of struggles with, like, just building relationships, whether it be friendships or something romantic.
Do you think
it takes one? Yeah, because if you think about it, we live in a culture where it's like, if you don't agree with me, you're the enemy. We can't have these kind of conversations.
Yeah, okay. I guess in that aspect, I can agree with you because I personally feel like I feel like so many people have fake friends. Like people that they call friends and they're like, oh yeah, I got a bunch of friends. And I think it's actually a lot easier, probably easier than ever to make friendships and develop those things. But in terms of when it comes to, I guess, mentalities and the way perspectives of whether it be political perspectives, spiritual life perspectives and stuff like that. Yeah, I do agree with you that we're definitely at a state where people cannot really respectfully disagree. So, and that creates a lot of tension and probably makes people, like, I don't know if I want to go down that route. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you see that with marriage all the time. That's why the divorce rate is so high. That's rampant in relationships. Yeah, it's just...
That's a little bit different, though, because I don't know what the statistics are, but I'm pretty sure that the number one reason most marriages fail is because of financial issues.
Yeah, but if they were to have a coherent conversation about that and understand each other's point of view without maybe arguing, maybe not listening, that wouldn't be there. It's about the initial conversation about the financials, the cheating, or whatever the issues or the statistics may show. There's always a conversation about that. If you can't reach a happy medium over anything...
No, so like, don't you think though that the finance? Okay, so like specifically relate. Let's just run with this for a second here. You know, let's just run with this and say that right now, without looking. You know, again, this is just the last I remember, but I'm fairly certain that financial issues are the main reasons why a lot of marriages fail. Don't you think though that financial reasons can exceed way more than just communication? Because you're right, people can just have they can talk about it, get on the same page, but sometimes financial situations, man, are out of their control. Like the state of the, I mean, especially during the pandemic, you know, take that into consideration, how that affected a lot of relationships, both good and bad, you know, specifically relating to finances. I just feel like there's, to some degree, I think that's out of their control, to some degree.
Well, the thing is, the focus has to be clarified. So is the focus curing the financial situation, or is the focus curing the relationship?
Don't you think that a bad financial situation... Wait, okay. Don't you think that... Okay, explain to me what you mean by that, actually, because I took it a few different ways.
Okay. The reason why I bring that up is because if by the statistics you're trying to cure the financial situation, then yes, it'll always fall apart because that's hard numbers. If you're trying to fix the relationship, that's a conversation between two people that is about the financial situation. Now, if your finances are struggling and you're going to get married, you're trying to buy a house or trying to buy a car or something, and your partner talks to you about it, you talk to your partner about it, bicker, divorce. Oh, they divorced because of financial relationships. Well, or financial struggles, I should say. But in actuality, they weren't able to come to an agreement or an understanding at the very minimum and try and make the relationship flourish. All they tried to do was make the financial situation better. And I think that's what people struggle with because it's okay, this is affecting myself. You're not good for me. This isn't working, no matter how many times we may talk about it,
I can see
quote
that.
unquote.
I can understand that now because, like, basically, what you're saying is if you have a strong relationship should be able to make it through anything, including financial hardship.
I agree.
So,
Yes,
but
110%.
that's essentially okay. I agree with you. Okay, because like in that aspect, you're right. A healthy relationship would be able to go ahead and sit back, be able to, you know. And by the way, healthy relationship completely subjective. It's gonna look all sorts of way different for everyone across the spectrum. There is no black and white picture of what a healthy relationships are. It is just we know that there are common variables of what a healthy relationship has, like good communication, good, you know, respect for one another and stuff like that.
Also, if I may interject as well, a healthy relationship doesn't mean you never fight. A
Oh
healthy
my
relationship
gosh,
doesn't
yeah.
mean that there are no conflicts or tough conversations or
Good
struggle.
point. Heck
A
yeah.
healthy relationship is something that you are struggling through, something that you're bickering through, something that you're going through that can be tough and still remain on target. That's a healthy relationship. It's
It's true.
problem solving.
It's
It's
the
not giving up.
ability for two people to take something that happens and the desire for them, both of them, to want to grow together and work through whatever is in front of them that makes an actual healthy relationship.
Yes.
No, it's very unlikely, and I'm sure they do exist. They do exist, but I feel like they would be more the exception, not the rule. But it's very unlikely that a relationship is never going to have any form of arguments and it's going to be perfect at all times without someone sacrificing something drastically. But if they're okay with sacrificing it, then that's a healthy relationship. You know what I mean? And that changes.
That's subjective, but I do agree with what you're saying.
Well, I mean, okay, everything is obviously subjective. We are kind of just throwing hypotheticals out there and stuff like that. We are generalizing for the sake of the conversation, you know, because not
True.
everything is going to be like this. Not everything's going to be this perfect. It's never like this. It's never that black and white, you know, that this is why counseling isn't just a cookie stamp for everything. Everything's handled at a unique way, and that's important. But I also think that's, you know, that's the beauty of it. People should realize that not everything is going to be the same way, and you can't compare one relationship to the other because,
Oh, no, don't do that.
yeah,
Yes, I can. A
because
hundred. Listen to him. Listen to him.
preach,
Listen to
he
him.
said, preach.
Speak to the choir. Speak to the
Seriously, because listen, comparison in general is absolutely toxic, but in my
people.
personal experience, just people that I've talked to, helped, and stuff like that just come to fear advice, even in my own relationship, when you compare that to someone else, it is just pure toxicity, you know,
Yes.
because it's almost like saying, I don't appreciate what we have. Now, there
Yes.
is, and you might disagree with me, perfectly okay, but there is nothing wrong with looking at another relationship and say, I like what they have. And you bring that up to your partner, you talk about it, and then you wonder why, you know, is that a problem? Is that something we are together? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's all about just pure respect for one another. I think it's all about honest communication with yourself and your significant other. And that's another thing. If you feel like you can't even have an honest conversation with your significant other, there's something wrong
Yes.
there. Do you know how many
Paul.
times? Yeah. Beep, beep. Time out.
Throw the red flag. We gotta
Right.
talk.
And then, like, you know how many people my fiance and I, so my fiance and I, we're very honest with each other. I love that about my relationship. Like, we jokingly will say some like rude things to each other because we know we're joking, you know, but it's funny. We laugh about it because like we know our flaws, we know our insecurities, and sometimes we laugh at them together. But you know how many people at our job looks at us and they're like, that was rude. And like they look at my fiance like, why are you with him and stuff like that? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, she's like, yeah, I do this. Like, this is just how we are. You know what I mean? Like, we're lucky with one. We are lucky. We're honest with one of, you know, each other and everything and stuff like that. And like, you should have that level of honesty. You should be able to tell your partner anything and everything, you know. And if you can't, there's a clear problem that needs to be addressed, you know.
Now, I mean, in the beginning,
I feel like
there's
that's a
gonna be some
comfort thing,
like,
though.
yeah, that's a comfort thing. You're just getting to know each other, so You don't divulge everything.
Right.
But you should get
unless to you're the me, point of course. Where,
well, you know, there's a special case. But, and I jest for those people who are listening. Me and him, we've grown up with each other ever since, like, probably birth. But what I'm getting at is this. Like, early on, yes, you're going to have some walls, some barriers. That's fine. That's good. You don't want to be too accepting right away. However,
feeling you have to get to a beginning.
Yeah, but you have to get to a point in that relationship where you have to allow yourself to not only give yourself the benefit of the doubt and open up to the relationship, but give your partner the benefit of the doubt. Because again, nothing is perfect.
Right.
Someone's going to mess up, whether it be you or him or you or her. Yeah. It's the toxicity comes from thinking that everything will go right and go your way. That is where that toxicity happens,
though. But see, and the thing is mm-hmm. again, this kind of goes back to the earlier conversation of like, where do we draw that line? If someone's never seen a different perspective and they don't know any better, they're not going to see that they're being toxic, you know? And it's usually often very difficult for them to be able to see that perspective unless like someone who can get through to them brings that up to them, you know? But again, that's a scenario, you know, but...
At that very point that you just brought up, that is how you know it should. In that hypothetical, for some people it may be very real, but in that hypothetical, they need to just stop and work on themselves, because there's one thing to be bleeding all over another person because of a relationship, and there's a completely different world that's much worse, being toxic to someone and not even know it.
I've been there.
Me too.
Yeah. And
it sucks.
Yeah.
It really
because
does.
Because you're hurting without and the intent of being of hurting. You know what I mean? Yes. Like that's the problem, you know? Like your intentions are pure, but at the end of the day it's because of inexperience or not knowing that you're doing something different or that you need to do something different that causes that problem. And for me, you know, and again, for you guys who may be watching that may be listening, you know, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're going to be listening in the podcast and everything, you know, the audio format, like we're sharing this from our experience. You know, we're no way, shape, or form perfect. You know, we're not trying to be perfect, but I can honestly tell you at the time that I've gone through this, I didn't have any form of self-awareness, not to the way that I do right now. And I realized that I was so much part of the problem that contributed to my relationship as much as she was. I was bringing my life into the table. She was bringing her life to the tables, but they were two completely different lives that resulted in two different like mentalities. You know, was I able to shine some light on things that she wasn't seeing because, you know, I was able to be more detached emotionally between maybe her and her parents or her and her friends because I'm an outside perspective coming in. Yeah, but she was also able to do the same thing for me, you know. And it's not this, again, it's not this black and white, but at the end of the day, you know, for the sake of conversation to kind of get the point across, we're kind of just trying to make it black and white. Every relationship is great. Everything is so different. Everything is like, you know, but it takes two to tango. And that's the beautiful part. So
I feel a lot of people actually don't know what that tango is. The tango is the difficult times. The tango is the good times. The tango is everything. But to give a little bit more to that, it's the mentality. It's the communication. It's understanding what you want from the relationship. It's understanding what they want from the relationship. And it's not like, listen, for the people that are listening and watch for the people that are watching. It is not wrong to say, I want this in a relationship. It is wrong to say, I want this out of this relationship. Because that other person may not be wanting the same thing. That's why you talk. That's why you date. That's why you get to know the person. When you find someone that aligns with what you're looking for.
Okay.
And for the long run. That is what you go and look for. It's not like, oh, they're pretty. I want to be in a relationship with this. Oh, dad said that, you know, this girl is wonderful. Oh, mom said that this guy, you know, comes to the church every single
day. What is your take? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was basically just going to say, like, understand yourself what you're looking for and don't ever feel that you're doing something wrong and feel dismayed by that. It's like Suicide Squad, you know, it's like, oh, that's your scars. You know, that's what the Harley Quinn said. She's like, own it. True. Own it. That's you. Don't ever feel ashamed that you want to date rich. Don't ever feel ashamed that you want a good person, that you want a gamer, that you don't want a gamer.
It just has because to be a mutual, like a mutual agreement, no matter what it is that you like or looking for in a relationship.
Yes, but within yourself, because I feel a lot of people kind of get into relationships not really truly knowing what they want.
What do you mean within yourself? Because like, okay, for the sake of the hypothetical, let's say you and I were dating, you would need to, we would mutually need to agree on what, like I'm looking for this in a relationship. You would need to agree to that. And obviously, you know, like for the relationship to continue and what you're looking for in a relationship, like I would need to agree on that, not that black and white, more or less like basically I had to give you what you're looking for and you had to give me what we're looking for in order for that to balance. So is that what you mean by within yourself as well? Like,
So the part that you're expecting from the other person, you have to define that. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about
to define the kind of checklist that some people may say, quote unquote. You have to define that checklist first,
you
not go through
values,
the relationship.
Not checklist. How about that? Yeah. That's a little bit better.
You have to define those values within yourself and then start dating. You don't go into dating. You don't go into like a relationship looking for your values, because that's how you hurt the other person. Because if you think about it, what you want is an unknown, not only to them, but you as well. And that was a mixture of my relationship as well, where she didn't really know what she wanted. And it was always like, okay, is this going to change within a month, a year, a day, a minute, a second? I really didn't know. That's why I say, like, if you're going to get into any kind of relationship, work on yourself. Make sure you understand what your values are, what you want from the relationship, and then proceed forward. Then you are ready. And don't ever feel like, oh, man, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. That's fine. That's perfect. Because it's better than being in the dark, not knowing what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, we're on the same page. Well, this is a good conversation.